and welcome. This is Trials and Tribulations. I'm Phil Airy, and I've got my two cohorts.
Sarah Owen Hughes.
And me, Faith Douglas.
Well, I am so excited today because I'm sat in my car in a car park in North Harrogate. There's snow on the ground and I am talking to somebody I've been trying to pin down for, is it 2 years?
2 years.
2 years, right, okay. So one of my very best friends in the world, Demelza Lowe from Low Maintenance Training, who's based over in Settle, which is the very northernmost part of Yorkshire, isn't it?
Just a bit.
And we've been promising to have this conversation and we just haven't managed to be in the same parts of the county at the same time. So hugely excited. Thank you for joining me in my car.
Thank you for having me.
And we're going to talk today about what Demelza does, what makes her business so unique and how she ended up doing what she does, first of all. So tell us, first of all, what does low maintenance training do?
Low maintenance training provide forestry and land-based training to amateurs, people of interest in the land-based sector, but also professionals. So tree surgeons, arborists, farmers, council workers, utility, ecologists, horticulturalists, all sorts of people in the land-based sector.
Yeah, so it's basically going back to school for industry-based skills. So you need to have a qualification to handle a chainsaw commercially. You need to have a certificate to spray certain pesticides, don't you?
Yes, you need certificates of competence to prove you're professional, but also then able to work to industry best practice and industry standard for the relevant areas that you're working. So for pesticides, for example, you need to be qualified to make sure you're doing it safely, because they're dangerous, as are chainsaws, and so is tree climbing.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're a small company, it's just you and your husband, isn't it?
Just the two of us.
Just
yes.
The two of you. And you travel around the country, because I saw not that long ago you're in, where was it, in Scotland?
Stornoway I went to a couple of years ago. So all the way from Stornoway to Kent is where I've travelled so far for
Good
the training.
Good grief, amazing.
So anywhere in the country, really.
Yes, anybody who wants you to help develop their workforce, or for the keen amateur who maybe wants to career change. So quite often I know that you've had amateur gardeners who then decide they want to go into commercial gardening, for example. They want to do garden maintenance, and then after a certain number of years realise that they need to be able to spray pesticides and get their knapsack spraying certificates, or operate a chainsaw safely, or eventually use all-terrain vehicles. They can come to you and do some, is it online training? Or
we do a mixture of online blended training now, as well as the face-to-face practical sessions, and then the assessments follow on from that. So anybody that's wanting to progress, to be able to do so professionally, needs a certificate of competence to enable to do that, mostly so they are insured.
Yeah.
It all comes down to insurance at the end of the day. If you haven't got the right qualification, you're not insured if there's an incident.
Right, so if I was getting somebody to do some tree work in my garden, that's the first question, isn't it? Are you insured, and what qualifications do you have? Do you have your chainsaw, your rope and harness certificates and things like that?
Yes, so the first questions you ask of a tree surgeon or an arborist would be, what insurance have you got? And then demonstrate and show me what qualifications you have. So do you have your chainsaw maintenance and cross-cutting, felling the small trees, your tree climbing and aerial rescue, and at least your chainsaw open harness, which is using a chainsaw in the tree. And
yeah,
there are others in addition to that, but they're the minimum that you'll be asking for.
Yeah, which again, I think most people wouldn't know that, would they?
No, they don't realise that actually they are supposed to check to make sure that the person coming to do any work on your property is actually qualified. It's exactly the same if you're asking an electrician or a plumber.
Yeah.
You'd make sure they were qualified.
Yeah.
So then why do you not ask the gardener, the landscaper, or the tree surgeon to make sure they're qualified?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And particularly as they're throwing chemicals or heavy machinery around, potentially in your garden, in your outdoor space.
Without a doubt, you need to make sure that you trust that they know what they're doing and they're safe to do that, because they're working on your property, possibly in and around your family.
Yeah,
so
and your neighbours,
sure,
yeah.
And your neighbours,
yeah.
Yes. So
yeah.
It's dangerous jobs with dangerous pieces of equipment. We need to make sure that everybody's staying as safe as possible. Especially within the industry, over the last 3 months, there's been at least 7 deaths in forestry chainsaw use. So we need to be doing much, much better.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And even things like using a chipper, which, you know, you can hire one and you can use it yourself in the garden, but actually you need to have a certificate of competence if you're using that professionally.
Definitely. And even down to a leaf blower. you are using a leaf blower as a professional, you are supposed to be qualified.
Wow. Yeah, that's one of the... I've been in the industry for 20-odd years, and I still forget that that's a basic requirement, isn't it?
It's a simple piece of equipment that we all think anybody can pick up and use, but as a professional, and this is where we've got to emphasise, you're getting paid to do that job, you need to be qualified.
Yeah.
And that goes for bush cutters and hedge cutters. Any piece of equipment that you're using for the job that you need to do, you must have had some training and be qualified in the use of that kit.
And it's something that needs to be refreshed every few years as well, isn't it?
Yes, HSE advise that refreshes are completed every 5 years. However, some people are following the FISA industry standard now, which is the forestry training. So Natural England, the National Parks and the National Trust have gone down to a 3-year refresher time period now.
Yeah.
And some insurance companies are following suit with that. So it's wise to check with your insurance company as the professional operator of these pieces of machinery and the qualifications that you have, what their requirement is, whether it's a 3 or a 5-year refresher.
And again, it's just showing best practice, isn't it? So if I was looking for somebody online, if they can demonstrate they're re-qualifying every 3 years, then I would
definitely
choose them over somebody who's using every 5 years, sure, yeah.
Without a doubt. You want somebody who's staying up to date, he's continuing to professionally develop, knows what's going on in industry and keeping up to date. There are lots of changes with legislation happening all the time, and it's up to us as professionals to make sure that we're keeping up with those changes in industry, such as the PPE regulations, manual handling that's changed since in the last few years, and what we can and can't do.
And there's something on emissions as well, isn't there? So again, people are starting to move towards electric chainsaws, for example.
Yes, people are going more over to battery powered equipment, but they do come with additional things you have to consider in terms of, have you got the right fire extinguisher to make sure, because it's a lithium battery, then how are you going to stay safe if something was to go wrong?
Yeah.
So you need to do a little bit of research as well if you're going over to battery. It's not just from a sustainability point of view, the fact that you can start earlier in the morning to do the work and the jobs, but actually if something was to go wrong, how are you going to then deal with that situation?
Yeah. It's an absolute minefield, isn't it? Because it's so specialised, but it applies to every element of outdoor work, doesn't it?
It covers absolutely everything.
Yes.
And we come across so many people from so many different industries. And over the last couple of years, we've been getting a lot of people coming in from other industries. So they're very hot on their health and safety, for example, from the entertainment industry, where they may have been doing the rigging and setting up of concerts, because things have changed and they had to find a different job in the last couple of years, then they've moved over and come to do trees instead, because they already trust the systems, they know the health and safety. All they needed to do then was get a slightly different qualification for them to carry on and work in a different sector.
Wow, so a lot of career changes within sort of related industries, but also career changes for people who've decided that they need to turn their skill set to something that's maybe more outdoors, hopefully more reliable if we've got potential for lockdown in the future, that's that sort of thing.
Yes, and those are people have been wanting to do it for years but haven't been brave enough. This has just given the excuse, the reason to go, you know what, actually, I do want to have a go at that. What's the worst that can happen? I could decide I don't like it, or I might find actually this is the thing I need to do and I should have done it years ago.
Yeah. And you do things like taster days for tree climbing, don't you? So people can have a go if they think that's where they want to go, because there's nothing worse than having somebody sign up for a tree climbing course and then realise they're actually terrified of heights.
Yes, we have run them in the past, and we will be looking to run them again in the future when things quiet down a little bit.
Yeah.
But again, they're an expensive course, and to find that you've put out all this money to pay for it and then find you're scared of heights, it's a bit of a waste and a loss for people.
Yeah.
And it's about trusting the system. You can't, obviously on two ropes now, two systems, so we have to make sure that people are confident with that when they go up.
Yeah.
But also about the different choices of equipment they can use for tree climbing. There are so much bling and shiny things out there. Some of that you don't necessarily need to start off with. You can start a bit simpler and try and keep the cost down a little bit. The beauty of coming on archery climbing courses, for example, is you get to try out some of this kit before you actually go out and buy it.
Yes.
Because how do you know what to buy until you've done the course?
Yeah.
So you get to use our kits at no extra charge.
For
have
sure.
Have a go and see what you like.
Yeah, fantastic. It's funny because I climbed my first tree with rope and harness last year. I was tricked into it by our mutual friend Jess Herbert. And I've always said that I'm scared of heights, but actually, up a tree with a rope, I wasn't scared at all. I really enjoyed it. It really surprised me. I would have thought that I would be the last person to go up a tree.
Well, it is an amazing feeling to go up there. The freedom and the fact that the views and things when you're looking out there, and the fact that it's just quiet and you're left alone. It is fabulous. I mean, I do love tree climbing, but I'm a little bit different from everybody else. I like doing the branch walking, so I like to be out on the end of the branches away from the main chunk. And most people cling to the chunk, whereas me, no, get me out on the little branches.
So how did you get to branch walking? Because your background is... Are you from an agricultural background?
We've got farming family. So yep. I've got dairy and sheep in Bolton Abbey. I've got pigs over near York. So I've got a range. I've got beef as well at York. So I came from a strong farming family, but I went into horticulture. So I went to Askham Bryan in the late 90s. Bit of the black sheep of the family, really, because how could I do gardening when I'm a farmer?
Yeah.
But they've let me get over that now. And then from there, went to work in various nurseries and garden centres, and then ended up teaching at a local college. And from there, I was teaching the 14 to 16-year-olds. And some of the experiences that they were being offered, I wanted to have a go as well. So then steadily away, I gained all my short course MPTC sitting guild certificates, which now enable me to use chainsaws, climb trees, use wood chippers, stump grinders, all the pesticides, the full range. There's quite a range of qualifications that I'm able to train, assess, and actually do as well.
So things like sheep dipping, and you also have the rodenticide courses, because again, you need to have a license now to put out chemicals to kill rats and mice on your farm or your homestead, and you'll go out to farms and do this for a group of them, if they can get a group of people together.
Yes, a group. That's one of the courses that we're putting online as well, so people can learn it in their own time, so they don't feel the pressure, so they can just dip in and out of it. Both the sheep dipping, the rat poisons are one of those, as is the gassing course that we offer. It is really important that people, when they are using these products, appreciate how dangerous they are, not just to them, but also to the environment, and especially the use of rat and mice poison. There's too much misuse, with professionals, but also with the general public, in putting down things that they don't understand and how it works, and it's getting into the barn owl population, for example, or other species, which is having an impact.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. So it's very, very serious what you do, but at the same time, you do still have a huge amount of fun with it, because I can see your face light up every time you talk about the courses and how safe they are, and how high your pass rates are as well, because you are phenomenally successful at what you do.
Well, we like what we do, and that I think that comes across to everybody is that it's not, we're here to teach safety and to sort of standard and make sure people are safe when they go out. That's our main priority. We're not about bums on seats and filling every single course. It's about making sure those people that come are fully understand what they're supposed to be doing, that they enjoy the course, get a lot out of it, and then feel comfortable, confident to go out and then do the jobs in the future, and come back to us if they have any questions.
So during the first lockdown a couple of years ago, you had to do some adaptations to your aerial rescue course, because normally you would have somebody up a tree and then the arborist or the tree worker on the floor would then have to rescue that person up a tree. So how did you get around that with social distancing?
We bought Max and Paddy. Max and Paddy.
You bought Max and Paddy.
Yeah, they're very expensive. Max and Paddy were purchased, and they are some tree climbing aerial rescue dummies. And so now each course has Max and Paddy to do their aerial rescue A, B, and C, if necessary, for their part of the tree climbing course. That way they can practice as much as they like, and also the social distancing is not an issue.
So it's human-sized, human-weighted dummies are put up in a tree. Mm.
Just lie there limply.
Which is perfect, because that's potentially what you're looking at. If somebody gets stuck up a tree, or they black out, or they have an incident where they are no longer conscious, you need to be able to get that effectively dead weight out of a tree, don't you?
That's exactly it. It is a dead weight that you can't have a conversation with to say, do I clip it onto this bit or is it onto that bit? Like it used to be in the past, you could quietly get away with having that discussion up in the tree on the assessment. Now it is all down to you.
Yeah.
You have to be able to know how to get that person down out of the tree.
And that innovation that you came up with has now been taken on board, hasn't it?
Oh, I'd like to say we were one of the very first people in the country to have the aerial rescue dummies. We started again very early on after the first lockdown in the May, because it's education and people needed to still do these jobs for safety and getting back out and working. And from that, our assessment centre then saw that we had a Max and Paddy and purchased them. And then from there, sitting guilds then encourage people that this is the way forward now to,
that's
be able to
amazing.
Do this safely, and that should still be happening now. There should still be no face-to-face aerial rescue practices carrying out. We are supposed to be using dummies at all times.
That's amazing. That's incredible, Melza. It's literally you and your husband, and you are leading in best practice, which is fantastic.
We do like to set the standard, do things right, And be available for any questions that people have as well. We like to get back to people quickly. And if we don't know the answer, we'll always find it out and give somebody an answer.
Yeah.
And I suppose that comes through well in the fact that we've won a few awards this last year as well.
Well, that's what I was going to move on next, because you are innovating in your use of digital technology and social media as well, which again is not an area that a lot of land-based operatives are comfortable with. So what have you done there?
Well, we put a lot of the theory-based courses, especially the pesticide ones, online. So it's blended learning. So some are fully online, and then you come and sit the face-to-face assessment. Others are a bit of blended learning, so you learn the theory before you come, and then on the practical day we bring it all together, and then you sit the assessment. So it's cut down the face-to-face courses, possibly from 3 days down to a day and a half. Plus people can dip in and out more, rather than the overwhelm of trying to learn all this information. Because with all the courses, there is more to it than what people think.
Yeah, of course.
So we've created a candidate portal, so all the information is there and available for people before they even start, so they can be ready for when they come. We won a digital top 100 award this time last year, January 2021. And then the Yorkshire Post Rural Business Awards, we have one for the third year in a row. This year's category was the new one, and it was the Rural Innovation Award that we've won.
That's amazing. So Rural Innovation, what does that mean? What did they highlight as being particularly innovative?
The fact that we pivoted so quickly, that for an industry that is very practical, that we turned it round so that people could still access courses, that it was all done online. Safety came first, in terms of not just the normal safety levels that we have to adhere to, but in terms of the COVID side of things and making sure people are safe on the courses. Putting new practice in place like Max and Paddy, and the COVID packs and things that we were sending out, the portal. So from a sustainability point of view as well, we just don't have the paper and the workbooks we're printing off now, because it's all on this candidate portal that we have built.
Incredible. And as well as that, because obviously you're not busy enough running this business and innovating both rurally and digitally, you also manage to do a weekly Facebook Live session as well on a Wednesday.
Yes, we have the low maintenance Q&As, and this is where we have a 3-weekly rotation of a passion for horticulture, farming for focus, and an arbor conservation session. And each of those weeks we have an industry specialist come and talk to us, or we have a general matter about seasonality issue talks, where people can come live and talk to us and ask questions on Facebook. So it's a way of interacting, engaging, but also educating people who aren't aware of what's going on in the land-based sector as to what jobs are actually really out there. Farmers don't just shovel muck, and gardeners don't just weed.
Yeah, absolutely. And also those chats, as well as being live on a Wednesday, you can actually watch them all back online via Facebook, can't you? They're all freely available. So if you want to know a little bit more about, there was one about hedgehog conservation, wasn't there? There's one about what books you should buy if you're an arborist, or how to maintain your chainsaw and your tools. There's all sorts of things like that you can dip back into and watch, and they're educational, they are land-based, but they're also great fun as well.
Fun and informative is the way we're heading with them. People can learn something, ask a question, and hopefully go away with a better understanding of what the land-based sector is.
I suspect that the ones that I do are more fun than informative, but
we do have a good giggle, don't we?
I've had a bit of a reputation of doing most of them with a very large gin, haven't I, on a Wednesday night with you.
Definitely known for that now. We do have a following from Spain.
Yes.
A regular viewer, don't we?
Yeah, so. Yeah, and I've had former students and former colleagues watching online and saying, oh, it feels like sitting in a front room and having a chat with you, which is really nice to hear as well.
Which is how we sort of like to run our business. It's not rigid, it's not stringent. Yes, it is safety, but we want to pop that across in a fun way that's engaging, that doesn't feel daunting, that everybody can access it on some level.
Yeah, fantastic. And where now? What are your aims for this next year? Because you, obviously you've not got enough on at the moment. You are the busiest woman I've met in a long time.
Apart from you.
Well, you, yeah. And I don't sleep, so that's...
and I do like my sleep, so... well, we've just been discussing about putting all the Q&As onto a podcast platform, so they're available for people to watch on different platforms, and hopefully it will open up to a wider audience.
Amazing.
Looking at growing our online offering, so more people can access the online courses, and hopefully more remotely from across the country.
Yeah.
So they don't have to travel quite so much, might be an option. And just seeing how this year goes, really.
I imagine you could do with maybe winning a few more awards as well, because
yeah, you could be
put another shelf up. I'm sure you've got space somewhere in your amazing building.
Give it a go.
Fantastic. Demelza, I am so pleased that I've managed to squeeze you into your busy schedule. Thank you so much for joining us. And like I say, low maintenance training on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, all social media. Give them a follow, have a little look online and see if you can spot some photographs of Max and Paddy, because they do make appearances on your Instagram feed every now and again as well, don't they?
They do. They're coming up for their 2-year anniversary.
Oh, it's their birthday.
It is.
How exciting.
How exciting.
Looking forward to seeing them with the party hats on for that one.
Definitely. Well, thank you very much.
No, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, that's it. Thanks for listening. That's been another edition of Trials and Tribulations. Now, if you liked it, please subscribe and follow. But until next time, keep it green.